morning, 7:39, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News. Mayor of Pensacola, D.C. Reeves, always joins us on this at this time on a Wednesday. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. Just, I want to kind of get this out of the way because I know it's a question a lot of people have asked, and I just want to make sure to get a definitive answer.
Yeah.
The port workers' strike, the longshoremen strike, basically does not affect us because we don't have unions and we don't do container ships at the Port of Pensacola, right?
Correct. Yeah. No direct impact. I don't want to speak for, you know, vendors that are on port that it might affect them, that kind of, there might be some kind of indirect, but in terms of city operations and things like that, there's no impact.
Right. And that, I just wanted to make sure that I had that right. Cause you know, like I said, a lot of people have asked me and I wanted to be sure to ask you. So I appreciate that. On the question of homelessness, if you and I talked a lot about last week and the new anti-camping ordinance that's in effect from the state, the one that you guys are proposing at the city council meeting and are going to talk about that next time there's a rescheduled one because you had to cancel last week because of the hurricane. One of the things, you talked about this yesterday during your press conference, is the kind of small-scale, I don't want to call them modular, but they're like tiny huts, but they're maybe $15,000 to $20,000, small, like 70, 80 square feet kind of thing. What is this all about? What are you trying to accomplish here?
Yeah, so just let's look quickly at the evolution of how we got here. First of all, you remember we've had conversations about low-barrier shelter, something that I still very much support the concept of. We went and found someone who was running one in Florida and said, okay, tell us what it would take. Remember, we have about $1 million socked away in ARPA, one-time money. And so I've kind of earmarked that for this conversation.
Yeah.
So we have that conversation as a community. John DeCarmine comes in and says, not only will you need a building and need it retrofitted, you'll need another 1.7 to 2.5 plus per year, depending on beds and size, to operate it. So clearly, as I kept saying after that, was that a low barrier is going to take like a huge community conversation. Our healthcare partners, our business partners, the city, the county.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not going to be solved with $1 million of one-time money.
And by the way, can I pause you just for a second? I know there's people who haven't followed this conversation for a long time. When you say a low barrier shelter, you're saying a kind of shelter where it doesn't turn you away because you're high or drunk or because, you know, you have all kinds of reasons. It's basically anybody can come. And we just don't really have that kind of a facility right now. And so how do you solve for the people who can't go to waterfront or, for example, you know, because of whatever reason? That's the low barrier concept. Anyway, just wanted to, people who might not know that, I wanted to make sure they're in the conversation. Go ahead.
Thank you. Yeah, in low barrier, it's misperceived as you can do whatever you want when you're there. That's absolutely not the case. You described it correctly. It's just, it doesn't matter what your religion is. It doesn't matter what your situation is. It's about getting you off the street and getting you help. And that, and obviously, if folks that follow the issue as a whole know that this is something that every community is struggling with, that's certainly a need, is to increase our scope of being able to get people off the street and into some kind of help, of their circumstances. So phase two of that, once we had that conversation, realized really $1 million is going to be a drop in the bucket to start that. And the last thing I want to do is start a low barrier shelter halfway. I mean, that would not be good use of taxpayer money. It wouldn't be good for the community. So we said, okay, well, what can we do? We have the House Bill 1365 on the way. There is some unfunded mandate.
That's the anti-camping bill. Go on. Yep.
Yeah. So what do we do? Well, we looked at this and pivoted to this as how can we increase bed capacity today? Like, what can we do now? And so I'm committed to spending this $1 million of ARPA funding, federal funding, that would help buy these shelters. And these are wind rated for Florida. They say 75 degrees and 120 degree weather. What I would like to do with them is put them in places where our current nonprofit providers have case management. Maybe they've got bathrooms. Some of these are built with bathrooms, and of course the cost goes up when you do that. But these are things that could be implemented and triaged out now, relatively speaking. So, you know, there's kind of like, here's how we can, if we can get a couple more beds at our nonprofit for people who are ready to have their own space, what does that do? It frees up a couple more beds inside, maybe on the intake side, or someone who's just coming off the street now has somewhere to go. So it's trying to kind of relieve that pressure valve of bed space So when our community response people see someone downtown, we can that much more confidently say to them, hey, listen, I've got a place for you. You know, and it's not always the deniability of, well, you know, yeah, I would take help, but there's nowhere to go.
Yeah.
So we, you know, that's how we want to be part of that solution. And to me, in spirit, it's us trying to adhere to an unfunded mandate. And certainly you'll hear me over the next few months when legislature begins that I certainly would like that to become a funded mandate if that's something that they're going to be asking the city and county to do.
Okay. No, that's really interesting. And they're roughly the size of what you might think of as a small backyard shed. You know, obviously much more sturdy than that, as you said, rated for wind in Florida, which is a great side bonus. But the idea is placing these, and by my rough math, we're talking about maybe in the vicinity of 50 units for $1 million, something like that, maybe 40, 70, whatever. And so finding providers who help the homeless right now and giving them kind of an outside alternative for a lower barrier entry instead of inside. And no, that makes perfect sense. And it's federal money, so you got to spend it or it goes away. And to solve this problem. No, that's very interesting. All right. So that I appreciate that. And that's something that you're going to have to get voted on by the city council, or that's something you can just do?
Yeah, we'll have to change the we have to get the bid, whoever will win the bid. It's an RFP now.
Oh, gotcha.
Obviously,
okay.
Like you said, it's got to be encumbered by December 31st. So
okay.
If we do this right, then what's nice is we don't have to actually implement that by December 31st. So we don't have to take collection. We don't have to take donation and put them in a lay down yard somewhere on December 31st. We're actually able to triage them out as needed.
Okay. Okay. So,
basically drop ship them into different locations.
Okay. So RFP now, city council approves that, request for proposal. Correct. So you pick a vendor and then you encumber the money. It's targeted to that. So you secure it from going away. And then over the course of time, as you need them or find people who are able to, agencies that are able to handle them, you can put 3 or 4 or 10 in the right place. That makes perfect sense to me. I'm glad you explained
that. And have them there immediately and built immediately.
No, that's excellent.
You know, they could be taken up and down in hours. Not days.
Mr. Mayor, you know I've been wanting to have this conversation with you for a while. I did an extended conversation a couple of months ago about my critique of the terms affordable housing, attainable housing, that I get so tired of hearing this term because when it comes up, it sounds vague and undefined and everybody says nobody agrees about what the definition is. And my thought is, okay, well, then let's stop using these words.
Right.
And let's instead find a different way to talk about it. Either we just talk about the rate of rent for the housing or the rate of, you know, ownership, whatever, for the housing. Or maybe we create some other kind of label, brackets, like Alpha would be, you know, the lowest 20% of earners can afford this. And Bravo would be the next 20% of earners.
Mm-hmm.
Up to Echo would be the luxury housing or something. Some way of talking about where our housing supply is, what's really missing, instead of this eternal, nebulous, everybody knows it's not a good term, affordable/attainable housing.
I think that's very astute. As a matter of fact, that's something that we discussed. I was at the leadership conference with U.S. Conference of Mayors that I've just got elected to, and the number one initiative for the current president, Mayor Ginther, out of Columbus, Ohio, is housing. So he actually had, if you look at, there's a very good report I suggest anybody engaged in this subject should read. It's called The State of Housing, and it's put out by Harvard every year. And it's kind of, and it goes real deep into trends, you know, how many multifamilies being built, for what age, all sorts of things. And so they came in, the leader of that group came and presented to us as mayors. Then Pew Research came and presented to us as mayors. Here to add another layer of complexity to what I think you make a very valid point. I agree with you. We have a kind of a communication problem.
Yeah.
Let me add a layer of confusion. The issue is to really solve housing, we need housing at every level. What happens is we're so short-sighted as a society, and we say, well, if 100 market rate units get built in our community, oh, well, then that's only serving this sector of people, not me. The reality is, as and this report would reinforce, is for every 100 market rate units that hit our market in Pensacola, within 2.5 years, it actually opens 41 affordable units. So when you hear that term missing middle, let's talk about another generic term that people really don't know what it means. What we really need to be working on is this workforce missing middle housing, and it actually helps solve at every level. And so that's, I think, yes, you're absolutely correct. I think we have a problem with how we define affordable, and it's going to be very hard for us to come up with those terms because it means something to everybody. It's different.
That's why I'm saying let's take ownership of the problem. You know, as you often say, it's I didn't create the problem, but maybe I can make a difference.
Right.
And instead of continuing to play the little language game of a sort of complaining that it means a different thing to everybody.
Right.
Let's create categories. Let's come up with a language to talk about this. Because look, every community is going to have a slightly different kind of or shape of need, right? And if again, I'm just sticking with the A B C D E kind of housing. You know, let's say what you need is 20,000 alpha. Minimum wage type housing, which could be subsidized, whatever. But it's somebody who with a minimum wage job, maybe they can afford to live in it. You know, 40,000 Bravo, 100,000 Charlies. You know, like then you could say, okay, this is what we need. This is what we have. Where's the mismatch? Where should we be building? Where should we be emphasizing? And no, I totally agree with you that any stock is going to generally improve everybody's access. But at the same time, we can be smarter about. Again, talking about where the lack is, who's not able to secure housing, at what level, and where does it really need to be built?
Sure. And look, but if we snapped our fingers and had those categories and that gave us more clarity as as it pertains to what we're building, there still will be this us versus them, winners versus losers mentality until we also understand the second point, which is truly, I mean, and look at what we're doing. We take the Motor Lodge and turn that into 60-70% veteran housing. We take the Malcolm Young property and put it in the Community Land Trust. We look at Baptist Hospital. We look at trying to support market rate units at Maritime Park. So our strategy has been come one, come all, because we understand that to create true affordability, that cannot be done. Our housing crisis will never be solved by doing one sector or the other. But even if we clearly define what those sectors are, I'm either in it or I'm not in it. And until we all understand that there's a mix, and certainly I think that's what we've shown, is to say, let's be opportunistic as we can, whatever property we can control, and then how we can use that as a subsidy to create that, you know, housing that otherwise wouldn't be there. And so you identifying that as a dilemma is undoubtedly. I had conversations about that with other mayors across the country. That same thing, just because I'm old newspaper guy, right? You know, how do we better communicate, you know, what we're trying to do? So I 100% agree with that. But we also need to understand concept and policy. And that is where, I mean, it's always surprising to me. You know, we'll announce a workforce housing initiative and it's like, well, wait, why are you doing that? Or wait, you know, they're going to be built cheaply. There's just always this negative connotation, and in some ways understandable. Negative connotation about any of these aspects going in.
And I think it
makes it tough, for sure.
And I think, honestly, I think if you created a clarity in the language, it might be easier to get people to understand why the policy is going. And maybe the clarity isn't A, B, C, D, E. Maybe the clarity is this is 40,000 a year household income housing, or this is 60,000 a year household income housing. You know, like maybe even just numbers are a more helpful way to think about it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, but it strikes me that it's going to be hard to get buy-in on some of the policies until you have people with a better clarity of what's being accomplished. And even though terms like workforce or market rate housing, those might be terms that they may make sense to DC Reeves. I don't think they make sense to the average person. And that's, you know, as you know, in communication, it's does the recipient get it? So I just wanted to run that by you. And I'm glad to hear that you're already thinking about that. And, you know, just I thought it was a useful conversation that we might have for a second. And, you know, so good to hear that you're.
Yeah. And I think that's another good topic for us, you know, to talk about at length, you know,
absolutely.
And answer some of those questions. You know, I think not just for the city, but just
in general,
what is the perception out there in our county, in our region?
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
I think it'd be really interesting to have that conversation.
We always like to end with a quick lightning round. First question is, did you ever read comic books? If so, who was your comic book hero?
Ooh, you know what? Yes. My brother collected them. So, of course, he was 14 months older. I started collecting them. You know, I was always a Batman guy in the comic books or X-Men, too. But I had the number one Silver Surfer at some point. It's in an attic somewhere.
All right.
Silver Surfer number one.
Get that thing graded, man. You might be worth something.
Right.
When somebody warns you, either on TV or online, like you're surfing Instagram or whatever, this video may be disturbing to some viewers. You automatically click through, or do you turn it off?
I mean, I'm a human being, Andrew. It's hard.
It guarantees hard you're watching
away.
It, right?
Don't tell me you're so noble that you always turn away from that.
Oh, no, man. That's 100% click it open, right? That's the whole point. You're glued to the TV now.
That's like guerrilla marketing now.
Exactly.
Just show that.
It is.
Guaranteed someone's going to watch it.
Guarantee they're going to watch. Last one, and this is a really divisive topic, but here goes. Is Five Guys fast food or not fast food?
Oh, man, that's a tough one.
Thank you.
I'm gonna say no. I mean, is Chipotle fast food? Yeah, I think to me it's like a fast casual. I say no. I'm gonna say no.
You're gonna say no. See, I lean in your direction. I know it makes John upset, but you know, I like to hear that we've made a comeback from last week's caramel or whatever.
thank goodness.
DC Reeves, the mayor of Pensacola, as always, a pleasure, sir. We'll talk to you again next week. Thank you for the time, sir.
All right. Hey, thank you.